Hello and welcome to the Get Transformed podcast of Transformation Christian Fellowship. We are so excited that you are tuning in, and hope that you would be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Chapter 17, verse 11. I'm going to be very brief. It's about to be 10 minutes. But I got to share this with you. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Verse 12 says, "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Verse 14, So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God." 16. "And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." Next verse. "So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." I want to go to verse 14. Back to verse 14, very briefly. "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourself to the priests.' And it was as they went, they were cleansed." I want to talk very briefly. As they went. The only reason why I'm preaching, even though I don't want to, because I feel like God has done what he's going to do, but he's not letting me leave from this. Because our worship is the reason why you have to understand this verse. As they went, ladies and gentlemen, very briefly, Jesus is heading into Jerusalem. He's between Samaria and Galilee. And this village that's outside of those cities, there were 10 lepers there. The reason why is because in those days, leprosy, those who had leprosy, ladies and gentlemen, which was this skin condition, was considered unclean. And considered that it was contagious, and so therefore they did not allow them to be in the city. And so anyone who had leprosy, no matter what their ethnicity was, were all outcasts that were outside of the city, considered unclean. That's why you can get Jews and Samaritans actually having to live together, because they have a common issue. Their issue is the fact that they have leprosy. Ladies and gentlemen, as Jesus is approaching, he sees these 10 men, and these 10 men didn't ask for a healing, but they asked for God, to Jesus, to show mercy on them. And while they were making their supplication to Jesus, believing that Jesus had something that he could do based upon probably hearing about the reputation of Jesus and how it has grown, ladies and gentlemen, they come to him asking for mercy. They ask him for mercy. They said, Jesus, and they lifted up their voice and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And then Jesus tells them something that I find very interesting. In another passage where Jesus healed leprosy, he actually touched a leper to prove that, that he's God. Because he heals a man, touches a man, and he doesn't get affected by it. To prove that there's nothing wrong with them. I can heal them. But this time he does something different. He tells them to go show themselves to the priest. Matter of fact, Jesus is actually going is actually going by the law. Because if you read Leviticus 13 and you read Leviticus 14, ladies and gentlemen, you'll realize that the priests, if they were healed from their leprosy, the priests had to say if they were healed or not to allow them back into society. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so you have to understand that Jesus tells them here in verse 14, he says, go show yourself to the priests. He didn't say go and be healed. He said, go show yourself to the priests. He didn't even say that if you go show yourself to the priest, they would be healed. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as you see here, and so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Hey everyone, I'm Brandon Hill, the senior pastor here at Transformation Christian Fellowship, alongside my lovely wife.
Hi everyone, I'm Leticia Hill.
And we want to invite you to summer at Transformation Christian Fellowship. Woo, it's going down. Hey sweetie, tell them a little bit about what's going down every Sunday.
Absolutely. Come and enjoy the summer with us every Sunday in those months. We are going to be celebrating after service with special events for you and your family.
Yes, you and your family are going to have a great time here with our community. Let's build community. Let's have fun. Enjoy Jesus all summer long. And as well as we have some outreach initiatives that are going down that we want you to be a part of here at TCF. Listen, for more information, go to our website so you can stay connected. Also, follow us in all of our social media pages as you keep it locked on the summer here at TCF. Listen, we want to invite you every Sunday, so bring a friend, because you never know what we're going to do during service to bless somebody.
We even might throw some curveballs in.
Yeah, exactly. So you do not want to miss it. And remember, transformation starts here. Here's where God dropped in my spirit concerning this, is that a lot of times we want a specific instruction that if I do this instruction, I'm going to get what I believe out of it. But these men went on the instruction of Jesus, not knowing if a healing was coming, but they trusted that if we do what he says, something would happen.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to tell you today is that sometimes in the season that we find ourselves in, that we may be looking and we may be searching like, hey, I need that instruction or I need that command. And sometimes it's the one command that sounds like that Jesus gives you, but you hear the command, but what does that got to do with what I need? And so you don't go off of the command and then you're still saying, well, I'm still seeking Jesus. Well, what are you seeking him for if he's already gave you a command? Here's what we can learn from these 10 lepers in this aspect of things. We can learn that you can trust the command. You don't have to hear that if you do this, you're going to be healed. You just know that if he's saying this, there's provision on the way. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? So the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. It didn't say when they got to the priest, they were cleansed. As they were following the instruction to go, they were healed. What I'm trying to tell you, your provision may not be like what the lepers needed was healing. It could be whatever it is that you've been waiting on God for. There are certain things that while you're waiting, you have to go. Because the instruction is in the command. Go show yourself to the priest. And as they went off this instruction by faith, a transformation happened in their bodies based upon them going on faith based upon Jesus' command. Some of us in this room need to know that your provision will be found as you are walking along the way. As you are going, provision, you're walking into provision. You're walking into they walked into the provision of healing because of their faith was in trusting the word that Jesus gave them. And if you have been in their situation, which we don't know how long it was, anything that God tells you after a certain time is called, I'm just going to do it. And a lot of us fight what God wants to do because you don't like the command. But the lepers didn't care about what the specific command was. They just went on and did it because it was a part of the ceremonial law. But I don't stop here. I don't stop here. As you go into, as you read further, go to verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. What I'm trying to get to us is this. One of them noticed that they were healed. The Bible don't even tell us that he even got to the priest. He saw that as he was healed, he returned. So here's the thing that you have to understand, that Jesus didn't promise that he would heal them right there. Jesus didn't promise him that he'll heal them at a distance. The Bible says as they walked, as they went, he was healed. They were healed. You don't know when the provision is going to hit. You just got to keep walking. Sometimes you got to just keep on living out what God is calling you to do. And provision comes. This is not a prosperity message, but what I'm trying to get across to you is this, that sometimes you have to just go. But while you're going, and then when you notice that what you've been believing God for in following the command has been done, you just don't keep going, you return. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people are like this. They come, they show up to church, or they ask God because of whatever season they're in. They ask God for, you know, different various things. And when it finally happens, there's not one that's grateful for what has happened. Ladies and gentlemen, I refuse to pastor a church of people who are ungrateful, of people who think that you are owed something from God. I refuse to pastor a church that it has this sense of entitlement. You and I are not entitled to anything from a God that's more lofty and bigger than you and I.
That's it.
We're not owed anything.
That's it.
We would say the same, if God never does another thing for us, he's already done enough. And you know what? That is very true. You want to know why? Because God sent the greatest gift ever.
Hallelujah.
Which is his Son, Jesus. People can talk about all of the materialistic things. Let me tell you something. Without Jesus, the material means nothing because it's all fading. Ladies and gentlemen, your eternal salvation, your eternal security, and your eternal reward is far bigger than the material things that you have on this earth. And I'm not telling you that there's nothing wrong with the material stuff, because it's not nothing wrong with it. And some people will preach down like, oh, no, listen, if you want to go in the jungle and do what you need to do, then God bless you too. But what I'm saying is that there's nothing wrong with material things, but I feel like we only look at God's blessing by the material and don't realize that there are things that money cannot buy. Money can solve a lot of things, as the scripture says in Ecclesiastes. But one thing that it cannot solve is the heart condition of man. One thing that money cannot solve is the eternal joy and peace that's in the Holy Spirit. But you get what I'm telling you? There's certain things like, I can't buy peace. I can't buy joy. There are certain things that are so much more tangible, so much, because you can be in a comfortable place but still feel content inside. And so many people are living on the go, 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 that they never return because they think that God owed them something. And you don't realize that when God blesses you in such ways, it is so that the glory of God ultimately will be seen through your life, that impacts the world around you. And so the other 9 lepers, ladies and gentlemen, some would say that we can assume that these were Jewish men. But Jesus says, this foreigner comes back, and he was loud about what God did for him. I don't know, at one point he may have broke away from the pack, but he came back and he returned with a loud voice. glorifying God. Verse 16 for me. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Luke, make sure that you know the ethnicity of this person, because you have to realize that Jews and Samaritans did not get along. And Jews are supposed to be the people of God. But the foreigner, he was louder than people that are supposed to be his. Because what that man got that day was more than just physical healing, because of his return. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to tell you now, it's bigger. Just because you got that, there's a work. When God does certain things in your life, ladies and gentlemen, it is to promote continual obedience in Christ. It is to promote this. See, gratitude, you don't have true gratitude just because God does something for you. True gratitude is that at all times, whether he does it or if we experience a disappointment in all things, I'm going to give him glory. That's what true worship is about. That's what true praise is. But yet this foreigner comes back and he thanks him. Let's go to 17. I'm coming to a close. Is this helping us today?
Yeah.
So Jesus answered and said, Where are there not 10 cleansed? He know the answer to this. He just making a point for his disciples that are around him. But where are the nine? Where did they go? We don't even know if they really got to the priest. We don't know where they, we don't know what happened. Luke don't tell us that. Verse 18. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? That's strange. Sometimes you say the same thing, then Jesus shows us, listen, you think you're the only one who don't get thank you when you do things for people. Sometimes you need to consider what you are at times before you get held up about them not saying thank you for what you've done. Sometimes you have to realize, God, Jesus also teaches us another lesson, is that sometimes it's not even the people that are close to you that will thank you.
That's it.
Sometimes it's foreigners. People you don't have close relationships with, they be the ones to be thankful for what you have done. Because sometimes the ones close to you are entitled, because they don't think, oh, you should be doing this. I don't have to. You do this out of a place of gratefulness. But as you go, don't forget. This is what Solomon says. Do not forget the Lord God in the days of your youth.
Yes. Yes.
Whatever you do, as you go along this life, just don't forget your Creator. God has nothing wrong with you going and being ambitious and all of that stuff. He said, just don't forget. There's a hymn of the church that always remember Jesus. Always remember Jesus. Jesus. Last part says, always keep him on your mind. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. We forget. Sometimes we forget as we're going, after we get what we need, and then when we get into another crisis, we want to return. But what Jesus is saying, don't just return for crises, return to give me thanks. As you go, just don't go on the command and get what you need, but return. Don't forget that as you're moving, and when you notice what God has done on your journey, return. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Hill, the senior pastor here at Transformation Christian Fellowship. Listen, at any moment, if you feel led by the Spirit of God to give, you can text TCF1 to 94000. Again, you can text TCF to 94000. Your generosity transforms the lives of those not only in our community, but those who are around the country. Giving to our outreach partners and being able to do different things in the community will definitely be able to allow us to touch the hearts with your seed. God bless you as you give, and remember, transformation starts here. As they went, the other nine, they continued to go. But as the foreigner went, he returned. Because I'm not going to, before I keep going, I'm going to stop right here. Because I knew my condition. I knew my condition. And my condition looked helpless. My condition didn't look like it would ever get better. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I were considered outcasts from God. But there was a day, ladies and gentlemen, over 2,000 years ago, on Golgotha's Hill, where the blood of Jesus cleansed us of our leprosy, of our condition. And ladies and gentlemen, some of you can remember the day that you were saved. And on that day, you remember where your condition was and the state you were in. And let me tell you something, as you go on along the journey, don't forget where you come from. People go, but they don't forget. They don't remember where they come from. I've seen it all the time in ministry. Church has been up for 7 years, but I've been in ministry longer than that. And I've seen them come. I've seen them go. There was times my father led this intercessory ministry at my home church. And I've seen on Wednesday nights, whereas though they would come for a period of time, they would boo-hoo and cry. Like, oh my goodness, I don't know how this is going to work and how this is going to happen. But as they were going, they got healed. They got their provision or whatever it was. And you never saw them again. There's been people that I've seen that we've helped personally in the church and has helped them in their time of need. But then people forget to say thank you and never see them again. Because then they go on to the next thing or the next place, thinking that whatever they need from there, and that's okay. But don't forget to say thank you as you go along the way. So as you go, as they went, don't forget. You see the worship that is in this room that happened here? When you see, one thing I must warn this church, and I'm done. What I must warn us is that may we never lose our fervor to worship God with such intensity and sincere heart. Just because people come to the church or the church gets packed and people are growing and money's doing this and all of this stuff like that. I've seen it many times. People start off good, but they don't finish well. Because they go and they forget to return. Or they lose their gratitude along the way. Yeah, 10 lepers got healed that day, but only one of them got healed wholly. What do I mean by that? H-W-H-O-L-L-Y. He's the only one that got healed wholly, externally and internally. Because on that day, Jesus told him, your faith has made you well today. That foreigner experienced salvation and sincerely accepted it, while the other nine, they got the physical healing. But their hearts were still not right. Because if their hearts are right, they would have came back too with that Samaritan. And you know what? I'm going to say this and make an inference on. Because they knew they were healed, they went back to the same thing that kept them apart instead of coming back with that one guy, that Samaritan. My God. Because now that I got what I got, now we can do what we need to do, separate. Because we don't, Samaritans and Jewish people, we don't do that. Sometimes it's people's own tradition and religion that gets them to miss Jesus. And while you cried out to him because you knew he could do something or heard he could do something, you never came back to say thank you. Stand to your feet. I'm finished. What I'm saying to us as a church, don't forget that as you go on the instruction, don't forget to give God his glory. Were there not 9? Were there not 10 of them, but only? What happened to the 9? What happened to them? I've said that, isn't like, weren't they? Jesus, how about all them people you had me prophesy over? They didn't return. I heard they got what they needed, but I didn't hear them say thank you, not to me, but really to what you have decided to do in them. I'm just a man. I don't care about that. The glory don't go to me. The glory goes to God at the end of the day. My question is that have we become so people in church feeling so obligated for God to do things that we've lost our gratitude along the way? That as we're going, that as they went, are we losing that as we're just following? Because you feel, all right, I'm going to do this because I think I'm getting something out of it. Or are we gonna thank him along the journey that we're on? Cause as you go, you're probably going off of that command, but where are you in the process? Are you gonna give the glory back to God, or are you gonna think, well, yes, it was through my prayer and all of this stuff, through you that made all of this possible? I don't know. I think that's very arrogant of us at times. I'm going to be very honest with you. There is not a sermon that's going to grow this church. There's not a worship that's going to grow this church. It's going to be the gratitude of the people. That's what's going to grow a church. I don't care what I am. I pray to God every Sunday morning. I understand my depravity. I understand who I am. But I understand who you make me to do what I do here. Why? Because I understand that if it's not for God, all of this is in vain. If God don't do what he's going to do, if you don't follow what God wants to do, only what you do for the Lord that will last. So that he'll look at you and be like, that's my child. Sometimes you got unbelievers claiming their God for louder than what we are. It's amazing to me. Foreigners screaming Jesus' name, don't have not one stick of relationship with them, saying his name louder than you, and they don't even know, and he don't even know them like that. That don't make sense. But guess what? We get mad at them because when they first get saved, and then they get saved, like, oh man, now they think they're holy rollers. Well, God gonna use whoever gonna give glory to his name. Amen. And if they still got to work in the process, that's what's gonna happen. At least they being loud, you got to do something. Listen, I offer Jesus to you today. If you don't know who he is, listen. Salvation is not complicated. Christianity, God is not complicated. There's complexities about God, but God has revealed everything of who he is going to reveal in Scripture. Because believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, if we understood everything about God, your humanity wouldn't be able to understand it. That's why we have to be born anew. There'll be more things that we'll be learning about God even after all of this is done. But it's not complex. All you need to do is believe in your heart, genuinely and sincerely believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says that you are saved. Any man that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you call on him today to be the Lord of your life, he will save you. So I don't know who's watching this. I don't know who's here. If you need Jesus, you bet not go another day without him. The world is growing darker. And I know back in the day, it was like, you know, people would guilt people into heaven and all that stuff. I don't see it that way. I see it as the truth. The truth is that there's two places. Eternity is very long, and where you house eternity matters about what you believe. And if you don't believe Jesus as solely being God, my friend, you are lost. And you are on your way to eternal damnation. That's not me scaring you, it's me telling you the truth. Even Jesus came and said, "Repent ye therefore, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And you need to repent today of your sin. You need to make a different choice today. That's what repentance is. You need to make a decision to follow Christ. So as we say this prayer together, it is not the prayer that makes you saved. It's what you genuinely believe in your heart. Believing that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again. So with every head bowed and every person watching online, I want you to repeat this prayer after me so no one feels left out. Say, "Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you right now to come into my heart. I acknowledge that you died on the cross, that you were buried, that you rose again, and that you ascended to the right hand of the Father just for me. Today, I want to make you the Lord over my life. In Jesus' name, amen." If you said that prayer for the very first time, I believe that you're saved. You can get into a good Bible-based church.
Thanks for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. We hope that you would subscribe so you can continue to be empowered by the latest message. For more information about Transformation Christian Fellowship or Pastor Brandon Hill, visit our website, transformationchristianfellowship.org, or download our free mobile app on the App Store or Google Play Store. If you would like to support this ministry, simply text TCF1 to the number 94000 or visit our website. We thank you for your generosity and for listening to the Get Transformed podcast. And remember, transformation starts here.